This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast, brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurants. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined by Nathan Blake and Paulin Abbandonato. How are we both?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening, whenever you hear this.
Yes, well, yeah, good day.
So we are obviously, today's show, we're going to talk about, first of all, the draw at Derby last Friday. Then we're going to look at some injury returns in the coming weeks and see if that's going to bolster the side, whether the players might come straight back in or not. And then some Middlesbrough preview before some Ask Blakey and predictions at the end. So much, well, another draw, Blakey. Blakey at Derby on Friday night. What do we make of the game?
I believe you and I called them an all draw.
I did have that at the bottom for predictions at the end.
Yeah,
we did.
I thought, in fairness, I thought it was a decent performance. I thought they'd done quite well, actually. I still think Derby they take a lot of risk. Over-risk, I think, at times. They give you an opportunity too often, and I don't think they got the players who can play out as much as what Kaku would like. But from our perspective, I thought, yeah, decent performance. Glatzel, Murphy again, I thought, you know, Patterson, White, I thought that front four done well. And I think what I was quite impressed by was the counter-attack. I felt the counter-attack was much more positive and, you know, far more decisive in how they approached it. So, still disappointing not to win the game, but I did feel like, you know, they need to, they can still do a bit better stats-wise, but they did play a lot more football, I felt. Not a lot more, but they did play more football. And towards the end, they went more direct, as you'd expect. But no, as a performance, I thought it was decent. I thought they were unlucky not to get the win.
Paul, you were there as well. What did you make of the performance?
I thought it was average at best. I'm surprised Blake is as effusive as he is about it.
No, it was better than what we've seen.
Yeah, but what does that mean?
Okay.
You know, I thought it was route one again. I think perhaps those 90 minutes summed up Cardiff City for me, Blakey.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
That they are a Neil Warnock team who are resilient, hard, and work hard, play a direct game, and will be very hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But they lack the creativity to win games.
Yeah, I do.
And as a result, I now think a pattern is setting in, is beginning to set in, and it may be Cardiff draw an awful lot of games this season, and drawing an awful lot of games isn't tantamount to getting in the top six. Now, I still think, I said this last week and I stand by it, I still think it could go either way.
Mm.
I still think they've got three games coming up, Middlesbrough, QPR, both at home, and Hull away. And if they win those games, and it is certainly possible for them to do that, if they win those games, that changes the mindset a bit, and then there's a momentum going. But at the moment, I see them as a team that
they're top 10 team.
That's what we find hard to beat. But again, I thought they should.
I never thought this season, especially with the expectation, I thought the season we went up was such a surprise to everybody. But from early on in the season, it was no surprise to me. But this season, looking at it, you know, I just don't think. I think they're a top eight, top ten team.
That's the disappointing bit, though, Blakey. I mean, what you're saying is probably pragmatic, and I think we're beginning to see that is the case. But I come back to it: the whole ethos all summer was they've got a better squad than last time, and they're going to be challenging for promotion, which means the top two.
I
think a lot of us, certainly the fans, got caught up in that. Okay. You know, and maybe us members of the media as well.
Yeah. I look at it like this: I don't think the back line is as good as last season or the season before.
Because Manga's gone.
Well, Manga's gone and Bamba's out. Yeah. Right. So I don't see how you can say. I don't see how anyone could say that the back line.
Yeah.
And Etheridge is out.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone could say the back five is better than what it was.
That's
two years ago.
That's a really good, right? Or even a year ago. That's a really good
one. Right? And then what you've got, really and truly, in central midfield, you've got the replacement for what was his name? The Spanish lad,
Camarasa.
Camarasa. You've got his replacement. Really and truly is, I thought it was going to be
Lee Tomlin.
But we said disappointed if he doesn't start against Derby. Be really disappointed. So not to see him in there. I was surprised. I'll be honest with you, because
he did.
I just don't think centrally between Bakuna, Patterson, and Rouse, you are going to create a lot. You know, I don't think those three players are known for creativity. You know, Patterson is going to get up front, you know, get in behind. He's going to run all day. He's going to work his, you know, what, off. He's going to challenge. He's going to fight. He'll get you the goals here and there. He's not going to be prolific. You know, he's got good anticipation. He's good in that position, arriving in the box as a 10. But creativity, real and truly, that's what you're looking for from your number 10, is creativity for your number 9. Also, you know, your 7 and 11, you're looking for them to score goals as the 10, score goals, but all three of them create for your number 9. And I just don't think, at the moment, I don't think it's quite... I just don't see it clicking, you know, unless... I think the only way it does is if you play Tomlin over a run of games,
yeah,
and he ends up, you know,
yeah,
becoming the goal provider for,
yeah,
the likes of Murphy, White, you know, Glatzel, people like that, because I just don't see any other way that you improve your creativity stakes. Plus, you, and as I always say, you add on the fact that you're only dealing in 90% of the time 35-45% possession of the ball. So, you know, it's extremely difficult. That's what I feel for Glatzel. I'm so glad, so happy for him to see him get his goal.
It was a penalty
against Derby. Yeah, I know, but it's a goal. It still takes, you know, it's still, you know, it's, I've been there when you step up to the plate. Penalties can be missed, penalties can be saved. It still takes scoring. And it was nice to see him, you know, that powerful side foot. So, I just don't see... We're not a surprise anymore. That's the other thing, to anybody. And I just don't think defensively we're as equipped as what we were or what we have been. We've not got the pace. Miss both, you know... We definitely miss Manga's pace, I think. And I just don't see us as strong as we were 2 years ago. And, hey, people might differ, but that's just my opinion.
Warnock said there was a lack of quality in the final third. That's what he put it down to. Did you see it like that? Do you think...
Well, that's why I would play Tomlin.
Tomlin didn't play because he was in a car accident.
Oh, okay.
I don't think... I think that is the case, right? But I still think away from home he's more likely to play Patterson in that 10 role. So I don't think we should get too distracted by the fact that Tomlin didn't play for that reason.
Because you think he wouldn't have played anyway if he wasn't.
I'm not convinced he would have. I can't say for certain, right? But that lack of creativity is staring all the fans in the face, you know? And Blakey's right. The way you get rid of that, given that they got rid of Bobby Reid, is you give that role to Lee Tomlin, you tell him, right, you're the kingpin.
Constant, yeah.
But
it's got to be a constant.
But you've got to play for more than 60 minutes, and Cardiff have got to get the ball to his feet, not just lump it up and expect him to win headers against big centre-halves in the Championship.
Yeah, do you know what? I think whether the staff agree with me or not, like I said, I'm going to have my opinion, and that's the way it is. But I think if you put Tomlin in the 10, I think White, Murphy, Glatzel, Hoylett, I think they'd all benefit from a bit more possession. I really do. I honestly do. I just think they'd all benefit from a bit more solid possession. And I'm not saying I expect this to be, you know, like we've seen on the weekend, some of the goals, like standing in the six-yard box, kicking it to one another. I'm not talking that. I'm talking, once you win that second ball, about keeping possession, being able to rest in possession from time to time, you know, because you work the boys play at such a high rate, high tempo, you know, back to front. There's a lot of running in that type of football when it's a lack of possession. So I just think what you also do is conserve a bit of energy and are able to go harder for longer in the 90 minutes. But like I say, I'm inexperienced, isn't I, on this? So I wouldn't really know.
I've had another person whose opinion I greatly respect. I heard yesterday, he watched it on TV, and he was apparently saying that, you know, so much better and all this. Was it? I'm not convinced it was from what I saw. I was watching that game and I didn't really see that much difference, Blakey.
I
think they're a hard to beat team.
I have to, you know, be honest. I did think it was an improved
performance.
And I did think, especially second half, I did think we were stronger, especially on the counter-attack. I thought the counter-attack seemed more purposeful rather than just, okay, we've got a counter-attack situation, let's counter-attack. It almost like they were set up the counter-attack. So there's a difference between the two, right? So if we work on our counter-attack as a front three every day from this position, right, this is what we're going to do in this position. Say Joe Riles has the ball, you're all going to do this. You know, it becomes like second nature. It becomes habitual. But I got, by looking at it, it looked like they had worked on counter-attacking, which was, you know, it was pleasing to see. It was improvement. I'm just going to say, I thought it was an improvement.
I should say that Blakey's got a wry smile on his face.
It was, no, I do. I mean it. I think it was an improvement. I think it's hard to say between Fulham and Derby that both performances, there was an improved performance, and which is surprising because you're going away from home.
What did you think, Glenn?
Yeah, no, I'm in Blakey's camp, I think. I do think it was a slightly improved performance. Certainly nothing to get too over the top
about. No, absolutely not.
I do agree. I think they came into their own a little bit in the second half. And to be honest, I thought Derby was a game that was there for the taking.
That's why I'm disappointed, because I think that was a game that Cardiff really could and should have won. Anyway,
yeah,
it's gone. It's.
But you could say the same against Reading. You could say the same against Fulham to a degree.
But the amount of danger Derby were putting themselves in, they were playing ridiculous balls across their back four.
It was a question of when we were going to intercept one and score, not if we were going to intercept one and score. It was, like I said, they were doing things I don't think they got the capabilities to do. They're getting those ambitions and capabilities mixed up for a while.
A little thing that I picked up on, actually, which has been a little bit of a theme the last few games that I've seen anyway, is just that the left-hand side, that the Murphy-Bennett, especially in defence, I think teams are targeting it, and I think they're working it out. Because I know, obviously, Bennett's terrific going forward, and Murphy on his day as well can be brilliant going forward. But the last few games, I've just seen any of the opposition, whenever they're creating any meaningful attacks, they seem to be seeing that Bennett and Murphy are loving going
down
forward,
the right hand side,
and they're bombing down the right hand side. So I think they have been a bit lucky that the quality of the opposition in the final third hasn't been terrific. I don't think Fulham were any great shakes really going forward.
In the final third, yeah.
And the same at Derby. So just a little bit of cause for concern, I think, on the left hand side.
I would tend to agree with that. And I don't think Benno has been brilliant going forward. I think he can. I think he can be brilliant going forward. I always say I think he's. You know, when I have seen him cross the ball on the run, he always puts in a sweet ball. And I don't know. I just don't. He just don't seem to be in the same place this season. You know, really good defender. You know, he quick across the ground. He's a bit dirty, which I like. You know, he's aggressive. You know, but honestly, I just don't. He doesn't seem to be. I don't know. At it in the same way, you know. But I always say, Glenn, you never know what goes on in people's lives. You know, it could be something and nothing. It could be something major. It could be just form, a dip in form. He might think he's playing really well. You know, it's just, I'm just looking at him, I think, you know, whereas he was always a consistent 7 or 8, I would say, I wouldn't say he's like a 4 or 5. I would say he's probably a 6 or 7
mm-hmm.
at the moment. So he has got, he can step up another gear, I always feel, with Benno.
Well, that's the end of part one. In part two, we'll be talking about the injured players coming back in the coming weeks.
Subscribe to The Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.
Welcome back to Blakey's Boot Room. We'll be discussing the players that are about to make their return to the Cardiff City fray, the first of which made his return for the under-23s this week. So Neil Edrich played in Cardiff's 3-2 win over Sheffield Wednesday, I think it was. So, Blakey, in your opinion, do you think Edrich comes straight back in when he's fit enough, given how well, I would say, Alex Smithies has played in his absence?
I would say I don't think you can take the jersey off Smithies. I mean, he was signed as a in the Premier League as a, you know, it's going to be a dogfight for the number one shirt, and Etheridge managed to keep it. I think he got drafted in quite early for one game and then back out.
League Cup game, I think it was. Yeah, I don't think he played a league game.
Yeah, something like yeah. that. But he's got the number one shirt, and I don't think you could point a finger and say, oh, well, I'd put that down to him or put that down to him. I think he's just been steady Eddie. So, you know, I always say if you get injured or you have a run of bad form or whatever, you know, you expect the next player to come into your position and pick up the shirt and run with it. And I think Smithies has done that. So, you know, as good as Etheridge has been, I wouldn't say he's you know, he's fit. He's got to play. You know what I mean? Yeah, I wouldn't say his importance over Smithies is that great. So for me, Smithies has done well. You know, and you got new back four not playing well, in my opinion. You know, they're conceding too many opportunities, too many chances, especially against, you know, average opposition as well. You look at the Reading game, that was like they were Wigan. It's average opposition and you're conceding a lot. I wouldn't look at Smithies and say, man, you know, the reason for the back four looking shaky is now because the goalkeeper has changed. I wouldn't. I just think they need to tighten up. They need a couple of their experienced boys back in the fold. And I think they'd be fine. So for me, Smithies would hold down his place, yeah.
Paul, what do you think about how Smithies has coped in Etheridge's absence in recent weeks?
I think, as Blakey says, he's been steady, Eddie, but for me, Etheridge comes straight back in. As soon as he's available, he comes straight back in.
It's a cold manager, isn't he?
I'm not convinced, and I'm happy to be told, I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm mm-hmm. told I'm totally wrong at this. I'm not convinced Smithies wasn't at fault with the Derby goal. Should he have pushed that ball further away? Should he have held on to it before they got the scramble for that early goal? I just think Smithies has been steady, Eddie, and you can't blame it for too many of the goals conceded. And you're right, the defence has been all over the place at times. But I think Etheridge has been exceptional in Cardiff's goal. And I think Cardiff need that right now if they're going to win games, because, as I said, you know, they're not creating enough. For they somehow need an exceptional goalie who's going to make saves out of the ordinary, and I think personally think he should come back in.
See, I would go the other end. I think the problem is the attack.
Yeah.
I think the back four is a problem because it's fresh, and I still think, you know, it needs Sol Bamba.
Moving swiftly on.
Come on to Sol.
The next player, Sol Bamba. Does he come straight back in? I know you're a big fan, but if he does come straight back in, who misses out, and or do they have to accommodate?
Well, Neil Warnock's got a choice. I would say probably player for player, they're better suited to a back three with two wing backs, right? That's my opinion. But then what you're doing is you're leaving Morrison or Flint. You're going to leave them in a deep water, because not all of them can play central. So let's say Morrison plays central because he tends to like to drop deeper. Saul's going to play on the right or left, and Flint on the opposite side. So I think, you know, between the three of them, I think Sol marshals them brilliant. I think they would be better. But then again, if you stick to a back four, then you're going to go with the partnership that you've seen, you know, at its best, has been good for Cardiff, which is Morrison and Bamba. So Flint misses out. But then you just bought Flint. So if you drop him at this point, do you kind of lose him? Same thing with Smithies. If you drop Smithies and Everidge comes in, you know, dropping players when they're not having a stinker is the quickest way to dressing room upset. It's as simple as that. So for me, you know, they miss Sol drastically for me. You know, bigger miss than Everidge for me. So if he's fit, I get him match fit, and then I bring him back into the fold. Yeah, simple as that.
Paul, you're nodding along. Are you in the same camp?
Well, I don't think I was nodding along. Actually, the jury's out for me a little bit more on this one, simply because Sol is 34 and has been out since March. So will he come back as good as he was?
Ageist view.
No. If he's the Sol that we knew, I agree with Blakey. He's straight back in the team, and that means Aidan Flint misses out. I know they paid a lot of money for him, yet to convince me that he's superior.
I think he's an okay defender.
Yet to prove
no
that to
chance
me.
In on the same league.
I think at the moment Sol has to come back. If they go three at the back, they can't do that with Peltier as the right wing back. There's no point doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Although Bakuna could, I think, probably.
That's
what
I'm thinking. Yeah,
quite well.
And
so,
I think you've got quite.
Do you know what, Blakey?
I think you've got quite an attacking.
Maybe that tinker with personnel is what could offer them.
It allows you to play Tomlin as well.
I think there's a balance issue because Flint and Bamba both play left, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's not a more natural right-sided one like Manga.
Well, I would say probably Sol, if you can play as a six, holding midfielder, which Sol can, you can play right side, left side, centre, as a centre, centre half. So if you put those three there, and then you put Kuna on the right, and think attack-minded, Bennett on the left, probably more defensive-minded, you've got a good balance there. You have roles. And
well, we'll come on to Pack in a minute, no doubt. But
well, Rolls and whoever holding, right? And you've got Tomlin as the diamond at the front of the three, and then whoever up front. I think that allows you, you know, not only would you be stronger going forward, I think you'd be stronger defensively also. That's just my opinion.
How would you be stronger going forward when you're actually playing an extra defender?
Oh, effectively you're not, are you? You're playing an extra midfielder. Because you've gone from four defenders to three.
Yeah.
And you've now got five men in midfield, effectively.
Right.
Yeah? So you then, it allows you to, you know, throw the balls up a lot more. The likes of Højlund, the likes of Murphy, the likes of Glatzel, the likes of White, You know, there's a lot of players there, and you can mix and match. You know, Gavin Watt, I don't see him as just an out-and-out someone who's a right-sided midfielder. He's got energy, and he's got a good bit of skill on him. You know, draft him into a three-man midfield. You know what I mean? They, you can experiment with things, but at the moment, I don't think we're dangerous.
Yeah, so why?
That's what we're not. I don't think teams are looking at us and going like they did the season before last. They didn't think we were dangerous until after three or four games, and we went and made a statement at Wolves, and then people started thinking, this could be a half-decent team. By Christmas, people knew, right, this is a dangerous football team. I don't think we've got that fear factor at the moment, because I don't think anything, really. We've been okay, but nothing's clicked where you think, okay, this team is on it. You know, and it was the reason why I predicted they go up in 17-18, because I could see clearly, as clear as day, they were dangerous. They were dangerous, simple as that. And I don't think we've got that fear factor yet.
Okay, well, the next player we come on to is Marlon Pack. Obviously a little bit more difficult because we've only seen him for about 112 minutes, I think, he was in the Cardiff City shirt. Impressed on his debut, though, and he's been out since the Reading game. He's going to be back in a couple of weeks, we think. Do you think he comes straight back in?
I do. I think Marlon, you can play. I think the beauty of someone like Marlon is he's a good enough player. He's a quality player, and his size and stature, you can play him as a holding on his own, or you can play him on his own with two ahead, or him alongside Rolls with one ahead. He gives you that option again, so you've got lots of different options to play about with. But of the central midfielders, he is the one, I think, who is, if he's fit, he comes straight back in, yeah.
Paul?
100%. Midfield's a problem for Cardiff.
Yeah.
Lack of creativity in midfield's a problem. Keeping hold of the ball is a problem.
And I think what you...
Something has to change the dynamic at the moment.
Well, what you'd have then, this is my... Right, I think Sol Bamba comes in, Etheridge comes in, as Paul said, right? I'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that gives confidence, strength. Bamba comes in, confidence, strength. Pat comes in, confidence, strength, right? Tomlin comes in, creativity. Between him and Pack, far more creativity than what we've got at the moment. And then you're looking to then feed the bear up front, which is Glatzel. So I think right down the centre, your spine, you become far stronger than what you are without those players as well. So, you know, there's different ways to look at it, different ways to weigh it up. But
I'd bring all three back. Mm. I'd bring all three back. I know Blakey wouldn't necessarily bring Etheridge back, but I bring all three back, and I think the spine is strengthened as a result.
Yeah.
And if the spine is strengthened, it gives more of a freedom, I feel, for the flair players like Tomlin and Murphy and Mendes, if you like.
Mm. You can mix and match all those players
a bit more.
You can so mix and match those players, you know.
Another player I wanted to talk about, not necessarily maybe not the starting lineup, but Danny Ward, who's been out. This season now, obviously, Robert Glatzel is the nailed-on first-choice striker. But then we have a little battle for his backup with Isaac Purcell and Omar Bogle at the moment. If and when Danny Ward comes back in, does he leap above Purcell and Bogle? Is he battling it out with them? Is he below them in the pecking order? Where would you see Ward's place when he comes back?
I'll be honest with you. Even Glatzel, I give Glatzel the shirt because I just paid money for him, and yeah, he scored a goal and I want him to get going. But I've said on the podcast many times, isn't it? I don't think any number nine stands out at Cardiff, and haven't for a while. We haven't had a standout number nine for a long time. So Danny, nice player, I really like the way he plays, but you know, does he elevate, does he leapfrog Bogle? Well, on what basis? You know, if you could say to me, oh well, back end of the Premier League, you got 4 in 3 games, or 5 in 7, or something like that. But there's no consistent go-to goal man then. You know, so I don't look at anyone and go, oh, he's above him. That's what I mean. At the moment, you've got a glut Gletscher strikers that you need to try and find the best formula to be able to score more goals. Regardless whether you play back the front, if you play 20 passes a goal, you have to score goals. And if you're not scoring goals, you find it incredibly difficult to win games. And that's where we are at the moment. So for me, it's just, you know, it is what it is.
Go about there out with
you've got to fight it out. That's on the training ground, right? You know, I make my decision on Friday before Saturday who's going to sit down on a bench behind Glatzel. Until Glatzel, you know, goes on a run where he maybe has to sit down and, well, you know, Bogle or Ward or whoever comes in.
Yeah, I suppose the last bit of injury news we should talk about is Jazz Richards, who hurt his ankle again last week. And I think that means he's missed 51 games in 3 years now, which is...
Listen,
rotten luck.
Yeah, it is. And it happens to you sometimes as a pro. You get one injury, it leads to a second, it leads to a third. I think the last time we've seen Jazz was the Euros 2016.
Well, you've seen him occasionally for Cardiff since.
No, what I'm saying is on a consistent basis around them times, 2015, 16, maybe 17. Look, I'm not cruel, but I do believe you have to be ruthless in football. And it's never really worked out for him. And I think sometimes you just have to say, it probably do the player a world of good to move him on. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Not because, oh, you're fed up with injury. You, these are things that happen. But I think sometimes it's good for, right, refresh for you. Look, it's not working here for you. It's not worked. You know, how long do you give it? And I think it's been a long time, 3 years, perhaps, or three seasons. I think at some point you say, right, cut your losses, both for us and more importantly for you. We're going to move you on. Hopefully, some things happen where you just go for a new club and then all of a sudden you start playing, you play 200 games. You know what I mean? That's what I'm hoping might happen for Jazz and get back in the Welsh squad and everything and all the rest of it. But I don't know, for some reason, it's just never happened for him here, and he's never been able to get into a, you know, we've never been able to get injury-free. Never mind a run of form. He's never been able to get injury-free because we know he's a very, very good player. You know, and I think in a back three or back four for Cardiff, you know, would be a great addition. But at some point, you've got to ask yourself as a club, right, this is not really working out for us or the kid. So, you know, best all round. It's not like he's irreplaceable. And it's not like we've had major problems and been looking to him as the saviour. That's never been the case. So I just think at some point you need to be a bit ruthless and say, right, cool to be kind sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the end of part two. In part three, we'll be looking ahead to the Middlesbrough game this weekend. Welcome back to part three of Blakey's Boot Room. So we're just going to be discussing the Middlesbrough game this weekend. Blakey, Middlesbrough have had a similar start to Cardiff this season. What do you make of them as
well? They
opponent?
Sit one place above us on same points?
Yes, two wins, table. Three draws, two losses, and scored the same amount of goals
as well. I watched their game against Bristol City. I watched highlights of it. They look okay, but, you know, again, you don't look at them and go, oh, they're, you know, a major threat. You know, like you look at something like Leeds United and you see, right, you see where they're going to cause you problems. I think for sure it's a game we can win. You know, I just think, you know, at what point is that win going to come? For me, it needs to come sooner rather than later, because the longer you go without winning games, the more pressure it puts on following games to go on a run of, instead of going on a run of four or five wins to get you up into the top echelons of the league, you now have to go on a 6 or 7, 8 or 9. And Cardiff are capable of doing it, but you're just thinking to yourself, right, it's got to start sooner or later, because at some point during the season you are going to suffer 3 or 4 defeats back to back. Also, we seen that in the promotion campaign. So No, it's a game they can ill afford to lose, Cardiff. I think they've got to go, and they're at home. They've got to get the 3 points. It's as simple as that.
And they need to start. They need a big win sooner or later, don't they? They need a 3-0 at home. They need a 4-1 or something like that.
I think if you look at how the fans have been, the fans are just they're sticking with it. They're not like turning. They're not having to go at anybody. And I'm going to go at the bench, and I'm going to go at the manager, and I'm going to go at the players. They're sticking with it. Because you're not a million miles away from it, but you're right. You're not, like I say, they're not where they were 2 years ago. And something, you do feel, well, we've got the players, right? You think, well, Gladstone should be able to score 15, 20 goals in this league. Got lovely feet. I think that was demonstrated again. Against Derby, you've seen him a couple of times. I do think you need to play more football, and we get more out of him. I honestly do. Balls in and around the box. I do think he can create more as well in that number nine dropping in a bit role. But I don't know. I'm just going on a tangent here. I don't know.
Paul, your thoughts ahead of the weekend?
Win, lose, or draw.
Well, we'll come on
to predictions. Initial thoughts going into it.
As I say, it could go either way now in these next three or four games for Cardiff. They need to put wins. I'm not fussed about a big thumping 3-0 win. I'm just happy to see a nice 1-0. So they've just got to get a couple of wins, back-to-back wins behind them to get that, climb in that table and get some momentum behind them. So I think with Cardiff, get that. I still think they've got some really good players there. They've got a fabulous atmosphere at Cardiff City Stadium, and you know they can still make that something of a fortress for themselves. But they've got to start winning to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the home form, I suppose, has been a little bit of a positive, isn't it? Because there's been two wins and that draw against Fulham. So how important will that be?
Has it been a positive? I mean, they've had a couple of last-gasp squeaks, and the last 20 minutes against Fulham was awful.
Yeah.
It was awful.
I would agree.
Buy,
I don't
I
think
don't
it's been
that at all.
Results wise.
I know you're trying, mate.
I know
you're trying, but I just think, look, at the end of the day, the aim, you know, the owners pump money in again, like I've said, and the aim is promotion, but the expectation this time. That's what's grabbing Cardiff for me. The expectation now. We expect. Fans expect. So, excuse me, the fans, like I just said, they've been brilliant, been patient, but, you know.
I think Cardiff have got to play better, haven't they?
You've got to play better at home to win games.
They've
got to
play better at home. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, they've got to play better at home. Because if they win in their home games, then a point away from home, yeah, that's fine. You know what I mean? You will get your 3 points. You do pick up your points, and you do get your loss. But, you know, that's you're in then promotion form, I call it. Do you know what I mean? Where you had to beat, you're not losing a lot of. There's not a lot of games you come out 0 points then, you know. And at the moment, I just think all round players coming back will improve things, but I do think form needs to improve, goals need to improve, a bit more possession of football that needs to improve. You know, just improvements. 5% all across, you know, I think you'd see a different kind of City there.
But the possession of the ball naturally leads to the other things.
I know, yeah, I kind of disagree with you. You know, that's why I always say, regardless of what you think, you know, you can do it. We proved, you know, 2 years ago, Neil Warnock proved you can do it just, you know, being a very direct team. But honestly, my opinion is the championship has changed, albeit might be just slightly, but teams are better equipped. Every season your team plays in a certain way. I always use Bournemouth, I cite them as an example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since they got the Premier League, they've just got stronger, stronger, stronger every year. And they've got a philosophy and a way of playing that. They buy the players that fit into that philosophy. But then they'll go up against the likes of Everton and do them 3-1. They're not, you know, at home. They're a dangerous team. They're a very dangerous team. And I just think, you know, I said this last week, you know, we play managers like Neil and what have you, they choose to play the way they this brand of football, and it's worked for them. Percentage-based football, it's worked for them over the years, so why would you move away from it? I just think that's okay, but the game is moving. It's ever-evolving. And 2 years ago, it wasn't a problem. Like I said, we were a bit of a surprise package, but we had a grit and determination that was fantastic. Players like Bamba and Manga and people like that. I just think we're not quite there yet this season.
One thing that's been slightly curious the last couple of weeks is Nathaniel Mendes-Lang and his sort of lack of inclusion. I know he had sort of a mystery injury almost, that Warnock didn't really know what was wrong with him. He suffered a bit of a hamstring in the opening day and hasn't really come back to full fitness since. But he's gone with Gavin White, especially away from home at Derby on Friday. But if Nathaniel Mendes-Lang is fit and firing, does he start on the right wing instead of Gavin White at home?
100%. I'm one of his biggest supporters, Mendes. I think he's, since he's come to the club, I think he's been a revelation.
Yourself, Paul? Do you agree?
Silly question.
Okay.
The strides that Mendes has made, of course he comes into the team.
Yeah, I think he's... I think players like Mendes, Junior... I think you can, Gavin White, I think you can do more with them. Murphy, I think, is an out-and-out winger.
Mm-hmm.
Mendes, I think, is an out-and-out winger. But his strength and his power and his pace, I think if you try to play him inside, even in the 10 role or advanced midfield, he'd be dangerous. I think White has got the energy to play in and around that central midfield. That's what I mean about the options. Højlund, he can unlock doors. Tomlin... You know, there is a. It's just finding that formula, I think.
Listen, I don't want to sound like an anti-Gavin White thing, but you know, as Blakey said, you know, he's young still. He's new to this level, and it is about in that position. Yes, it's about working backs because that's what Neil Warnock was saying. Nobody could ever question his work rate, but it's about delivering in the final third of the field as well.
Yeah,
and. I just feel that he's caught in possession too often, or the crosses are blocked or whatever. I just think that will come because he's clearly got talent, but at this moment in time, Mendes has to come straight back into that side.
You know, I would say to Gavin, focus more on producing opportunities.
That's what I'm
for
saying.
For your striker and fellow winger and scoring yourself more than thinking I'm in the right defensive position all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he has got a leather lung. He can get up and down that pitch. Energy's great. I don't think you've seen the best of his skill. I have seen some touches off him. I think, ooh, okay. When your confidence grows, you'll be better again. Paul's right. He's just coming to this level of football, so it does take time. But I would say if I was coaching him or in his ear, I would be saying to him, listen, your defensive is a gimme. That's a gimme. You do that anyway, naturally. What I need you to focus on and really think about is, right, you're a winger, how many chances you created in the last three games? How many goal opportunities have you got on the end of in the last three games? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this game is about, to win the game, you've got to score. You've got to be in and around the box. You know, defensively, great. But there's going to be times where you are out of position. But that's why you play two older midfield players. We do. We play two holders. That's why. So, you know, don't stress. You know, stress about, right, be stressed about, well, I haven't created a chance or got a goal in the last five games. Don't be stressed about, I'm in the right position, my winger or my opposite defender almost got away from me there. You know, I just think he's, you know, almost too honest then.
Okay, that's the end of part three. When we come back, we'll be doing some Ask Blakey and some predictions. And welcome back to the final part of Ask Blakey, where we will be... Final part of Blakey's Boot Room, I should say, where we'll be doing some Ask Blakey and going through some predictions. So, let's see. The first question we have for Blakey is from Gavin Rickard.
I like Gav.
In light of the Berry and Bolton situations recently, how much credit should Vincent Tan and the board get for stabilising the club? And despite the kit change and other mistakes, is Tan the best and most successful owner in the club's history?
Wow.
I don't know about the club's history, because you'd have to go back an awful long way, because there is a lot of history to sift through. But I don't know. What I can say is, in the light of Bolton and Bury, and I think I've said this a number of times, especially this season, he's backed the manager. We got a fantastic stadium. He's given the manager money since the manager came. I think I've gone on record saying probably had a turnover of about 30, 40 players with Neil. So you can't really point the finger and say, oh, well, the owner's not backed him, or the board, Mehmet's not giving him backing. The manager's had effectively what he's wanted. We were never going to go to the Premier League and spend £100 million. Why? Because I think the owner had put in around £200 million and was probably glad to see some of that come back his way. That's just common sense, I think. But where he's not at any point left the manager with no choice, or no signers, no fresh faces, nothing like that. I think over the last 2 to 3 seasons, I think you've got to give him a lot of credit, an awful lot of credit. In the board, I've said it already. Can't you? I try and be fair. I don't attack people, or I don't try and give an opinion which is negative just for point scoring or get more listeners and all that. We just speak the truth here. So, I think after the kit and the badge and all that, I think the realization hit, like I said, when the crowds were dipping so low, the team was on its way down, I think, before Neil came in. And I don't think you can just point the finger at Neil and say he's knitted it all together, because at the end of the day, without the man at the top giving you the ability to go and buy these 30, 40 different players and keep turning over the phases and keep refreshing, you don't get the success. So you look at Bolton, you look at Bury. Still fear for Bolton, if I'm totally honest. I don't think they're out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, which is, I find, quite incredible for a club of that stature and that history. But yeah, I think Gareth, was it?
Gavin.
I think he's reiterating what I've said on previous podcasts. I think you have to give the chairman, CEO and owner an awful lot of credit, because it's a different team again, effectively, what we've been given. So the manager can't complain. I think they deserve huge credit, yeah.
I have to apologise to Mark George, who has asked a question I've already asked you today about Bamba coming back into the team and who gets dropped. Similarly with Sam Reen, who asked if we're going to see much of Danny Ward on the pitch this season, which I think we've gone over.
Yes, we have Mark. Yes, we have Samuel.
Jake Lewis says, who is going to be our next manager and will our style of play change? So you're going to have to look into your crystal ball a little bit for that one, please.
I don't know. There's no point in me saying, Chris Hughton again. I've said it. People have heard it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be him, but I'm trying to use him as an example of a progression, because I think if you ask any fan in football, they want to see their team play good, fast, free-flowing, attacking football, whilst at the same time being a really difficult team to score goals against, right? So I'm not necessarily saying we want to be a team that has 30 passes and a goal, but I'd like to be a team that gets 15 to 20 passes and a goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'd like us to play some football. And if you need to go direct at times, well, you've got the players to be able to do it. No problem. So, what was the question again?
Who's going to be the next manager and will our style
play? I can't say who the next manager will be, but I do think the progression has to be someone of that ilk, of like a Chris Hughton, who's probably in between, what's the Wolves manager's name? In between a Nuno and a Neil Warnock.
Mm.
You know, it's no point jumping from, you know, 1 to 100. You're going to have to go from, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, progress to try and get to, you know, that type of manager who's going to give you that free-flowing football.
On that note then, Ed Hopkins asks,
all right, Ed,
do you think a Man City style of football would suit Cardiff City and then please fans? I think reading between the lines, I think he might mean, do you think Cardiff City already have the players that can play that sort of passing football, or will they need to bring in?
I think you can get carried away thinking the Man City style of football is new.
No.
Remember Newcastle, Manchester United, Liverpool in the 80s, Leeds United, Notts Forest, Aston Villa. You know, I could go back from, you know, Tottenham Hotspur. You know, these are teams who have played football. I grew up watching it, right? Ricky Villa, Ozzy Ardiles, they weren't back to front players. They were footballers. Glenn Hoddle, Chrissy Waddle, I mean, Stevie Archibald. They were footballers. I was obviously a Spurs fan as a kid.
Mm.
But, you know, at that time, it wasn't Man United, it was Liverpool. Ken Dalglish, you know, Ian Rush, you know, John Barnes, Stevie Nicol, you know, players, mate. You know, they play with anybody, the best style of football. So it's nothing new. I don't think we're not looking to emulate anybody, all right? What I'm saying is, as a football fan, If Bennett gets the ball and does a massive 60-yard switch to Mendes Lang, runs down the line, whips it in, and Glatzel gets a header, that for me is as good as going through midfield, opening up, and Glatzel running onto the ball and finishing. Right? It's the in between those two. Yeah, what you do in between those two opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you just keep going that 70-yard ball all the time? Or you mixing it and matching it and changing it and, you know, giving people different looks at how you attack and what have you. I would say that is what most fans would want to see, is, you know, quality. There's nothing better than seeing, for instance, I was watching Champions League last night. I was watching Koulibaly for Napoli, mm-hmm. Against Liverpool, and Virgil, who, okay, made a minor mistake, but watching those two players bring down balls on their chest, players running at them under major pressure and the ball's in the air, getting it, bringing it down, playing it, little 1-2, boom, out you go. You know, you think, ooh, we're not sat there going, ooh, that was risky, because you think, well, he's a professional footballer,
mm-hmm.
chest control, getting it down and passing it and doing that, being able to do that before Glenn comes and closes me down. Now, if I think Glenn's going to close me down, then I boot it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But because of my technique and my quality and the speed I can do things, I can get it down and play 1-2 around Glenn before he even gets here. So I just think, you know, there's this myth that, you know, Pep Guardiola's football, and don't get me wrong, his football has taken it to another dimension from what we've seen in recent years. But listen, if you said to me, would that team beat Liverpool of the 80s? I don't know. Tell you now, I don't know.
It'd be a great game to watch.
Or Leeds or Notts Forest, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, look at people like Cluffy. Ah, love the way that man approached football. Loved it. And, you know, it's nothing new. So I think, I can't have said, Eddie May, I've said it before. Eddie May's team, footballing team. I grew up, that's what I was fed. Footballing team,
mm-hmm.
you know, excite, go down the wing, Nick, take people on, but you better pick someone out in a box, like Kyle Dale or Chris Pike, one of them, you better pick out. Don't just put it in there for putting it in their sake, pick one of them out. So you're passing it to your mate who's a striker, or Colin Griffiths coming in on the back stick. Listen, it's we're not, I'm not asking, or it's not nothing out of the ordinary. We've seen it at Cardiff City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simple as that.
Okay, then finally we're going to come on to some score predictions for this Saturday's game. Just a little reminder that Blakey and I predicted correctly last week.
G picking himself up like, on the podcast. Like, what you don't break your arm, mate, pat yourself on the back.
We all predicted a score draw.
Yeah, we did.
I just
we
thought
did.
There'd be more goals in it than you
said. Yeah, you went 3-3, didn't you?
I did.
And something massive.
Well, on that note then, Paul, we'll come to you first.
Yes.
For your prediction for Saturday.
I think it probably will be another dour game.
What's about you today? Bad humbug.
I just don't think Cardiff were as impressive as you say at Derby. I think they've got to show far more creativity. Yeah. And I'm trying to be realistic about it because I want this team to get back up into those promotion positions and something, a dynamic needs to change somehow. But I think I got a feeling that even within a dour game, because of the home advantage and the fantastic backing from the fans, I think Cardiff will neck this one. So I'm going to go 1-0 Cardiff.
Blakey?
Set-piece goal, by the way.
Set-piece goal.
Looking at the two teams, looking at where they are on the table, looking at their form, I hate to say it, but mate, I can see another draw. I really can. I don't see much between them. You know, I don't look at Middlesbrough and go, oh, look out for him and him. I don't say that about Cardiff. So I would go, you know, either 0-0 or 1-1.
I would say, I just think Cardiff, they got to have a big win in them sooner or later. And I'm going to stick my neck out and say it's going to be a 3-1 home win to Cardiff on Saturday afternoon.
Take that all day and twice on Sundays, mate.
Okay, then, once again, thank you for tuning in. And
can I just give someone a mention?
Of course.
So, when we were up at Blackburn, I said I'd give him a mention. Richard Hawkins. And I think it's something we can do on the podcast, gentlemen.
Okay.
Richard Hawkins, he travels to every away game. What I'm trying to find out is just how many fans travel to every away game, come to every home game, and how far are they coming from? Because I'm sure he's coming from like Kent or something like that.
Wow!
And he was at I think the Fulham game on the Tuesday, then the Blackburn on the Saturday, and like, you know, and he just lives for Cardiff City, and I just love those fans. You know what I mean? So fans, ladies, gentlemen, children, write in the Glen. Let me know what kind of traveling you do. We'll give you a mention. We'll give you a shout out. So big up Rich.
Yeah, definitely. Richard or any of those fans, get in contact with me.
Yeah.
Blakey will
give you a shout out on the boot room.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Well. Thank you for tuning in, and make sure to stay tuned with all the latest Cardiff City news on Wales Online.
Subscribe to the Boot Room on iTunes or listen on walesonline.co.uk.